Laudator Jesus Christus. Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Saturday, May 3rd, the 9th General Congregation of Cardinals takes place in the Vatican. Final preparations for the conclave are underway in the Sistine Chapel, and the Church continues to live the Jubilee year during the Sede Vacante. In the Vatican, I'm Deborah Castellano-Lubov. Final preparations are underway in the Vatican Sistine Chapel to host the 133 cardinal electors for the upcoming conclave to elect the 267th Pope. Devin Watkins reports.
The Holy See Press Office released images and video of the Sistine Chapel on Saturday as preparations continue for the conclave that begins on May 7th. The Vatican's fire brigade climbed atop the Sistine Chapel's roof on Friday to install the chimney that will emit black smoke if at least 89 cardinals have not agreed on the next pope. White smoke will billow out to signal that the 133 cardinal electors have decided on the man to lead the Catholic Church into the future. The video shows workers carrying the cast iron stove into the Apostolic Palace and setting it up. They attach the stovepipe to it, leading to the ceiling, and the firemen are seen installing the chimney where eyes will be glued starting on Wednesday evening. The cardinal electors will begin May 7th in St. Peter's Basilica at 10 a.m. with the pre-conclave votive mass Pro Eligendo Romano Pontefice to pray for the Holy Spirit's guidance as they elect a new pope. At 4:30 that same afternoon, the 133 cardinal electors will gather in the Pauline Chapel to pray the Litany of the Saints before processing into the nearby Sistine Chapel. Following the procession, the cardinals swear an oath committing each of them to faithfully fulfill the Munus Petrinum as pastor of the Universal Church if they are elected. The Master of Pontifical Liturgical Ceremonies then proclaims Extra Omnes, ordering everyone not involved in the conclave to leave the Sistine Chapel. Next, Cardinal Raniero Cantalamessa, preacher emeritus of the papal household, will deliver the second meditation to the cardinal electors. Afterwards, both the 90-year-old cardinal and the Master of Liturgical Ceremonies leave the Sistine Chapel and voting begins, presided by Cardinal Giovanni Battista Re, Dean of the College of Cardinals. The first ballot will be cast on Wednesday, May 7th in the evening. Throughout the following days, the cardinal electors will vote four times a day, twice in the morning and twice in the afternoon. All ballots are burned afterwards and smoke will rise from what may be the most famous chimney to tell the world whether the new pope has been elected. I'm Devin Watkins.
Meanwhile, the College of Cardinals continues to meet. They met on Saturday morning for their 9th General Congregation. 177 cardinals present in Rome held the congregation in the Vatican's Paul VI Hall on Saturday morning and discussed the Church's need for hope during the ongoing Jubilee, among many other issues. Let's listen to this report of Thaddeus Jones.
The director of the Holy See Press Office, Matteo Bruni, told reporters on Saturday morning that 177 cardinals were present at the 9th congregation in preparation for the upcoming conclave. The congregation began at 9 a.m. with prayer. Of the 177 cardinals present, 127 of them were electors. There were 26 speeches made during the congregation, and they discussed topics including a dual task, communion within the Church and fraternity in the world. Gratitude was expressed for Pope Francis, often citing his apostolic exhortation, Evangelii Gaudium, and the processes he initiated, which must be carried forward. Collaboration and solidarity among the churches was also discussed. The role of the Roman Curia in relation to the Pope as well, and the service of the Church and the Pope in promoting peace. As well, they discussed the value of education and the hope that the next Pope will be prophetic, that the Church will not shut itself in the upper room, but go out and bring light to a world desperately in need of hope, citing this year's Jubilee as an example. Among the recurring themes that have emerged in recent days, Mr. Bruni mentioned synodality and collegiality, as well as the Jubilee and the theme of hope, a look at the world and the thirst and interest it shows toward the Church, and a Church that lives in the world, not in its own world, to avoid becoming insignificant, and ecumenical dialogue and mission. The cardinals, drawn by lot to assist the Cardinal Camerlengo, Cardinal Kevin Farrell, in the particular congregations for the handling of ordinary affairs, were announced. They include Cardinals Francis Prevost and Marcello Semeraro. The third member of the commission remains Cardinal Reinhard Marx in his role as coordinator of the Council for the Economy. Cardinal Giovanni Battista Re, the Dean of the College of Cardinals, reminded everyone that St. Peter's Basilica is organizing the Rosary every Saturday evening at 9 p.m. during the month of May. It was also noted that on Sunday, any cardinals who wish may celebrate Mass in their titular churches. And responding to journalist questions, Mr. Bruni noted that the work at the Casa Santa Marta to accommodate the cardinals has reached an advanced stage and will be completed by Monday, May 5th. He added that the cardinals will enter the Casa Santa Marta starting from Tuesday evening, May 6th, through Wednesday morning, May 7th, but that they must move in before the Mass Pro Eligendo Romani Pontefici. On Tuesday, May 6th, the cardinals will meet in a general congregation at 9 a.m. and will hold an afternoon session if necessary. On Monday, May 5th, the press briefing to update journalists on the congregations may take place only in the evening after the second session of the general congregation finishes at 7 p.m. Natalia Jones.
And now let's listen to the report of Lisa Zingarini showing how the Jubilee year continues even in the midst of this sede vacante. Let's listen.
This is not the first time in church history that a jubilee year is marked by the death of a pope. In the year 1700, during the jubilee proclaimed by Pope Innocent XII, the pontiff passed away before the holy year concluded. The aging Italian pope suffered a form of rheumatic illness that prevented him from personally opening the holy door at Christmas in 1699. He died in September the year after, at the age of 85. His death ushered in a nearly two-month period of sede vacante before the election of his successor, Pope Clement XI, on November the 23rd. Commemorating that vacancy, a special coin was minted, now preserved in the Vatican Apostolic Library, that features a dove representing the Holy Spirit and the Latin verse Nos vos relinquam orphanos, I will not leave you orphans. According to Leonora Giampiccolo, director of the Vatican Library's numismatic department, the coin served not only to mark the death of Innocent XII, but also to convey hope in the Holy Spirit's guidance over the ensuing conclave. But the similarities between Pope Francis and Pope Innocent XII don't end here. Both are remembered for prioritizing the poor and the marginalized. Innocent XII, Giampiccolo explained to Vatican News, founded institutions to care for orphans and the homeless, and upon his death he donated all his possessions to the poor, a move echoed in Pope Francis' decision to give his belongings to support prisoners' rehabilitation. While the jubilee of the 1700 had begun under the ailing Pope Innocent XII, it was Vice-Dean Cardinal de Bouillon who presided over the solemn rite of opening the holy door in his place. Though this unprecedented substitution was historically significant, the French cardinal was not depicted in the official medal of that holy year. The medal instead portrayed the already opened holy door with a procession of the faithful passing through, an artistic choice reflecting continuity in faith despite the temporary absence of a pope. I am Lisa Zingarini.
As we know, the conclave is set to begin Wednesday, the 7th of May, and there are 133 cardinal electors, which means that to vote for a new successor of Peter, at least 89 votes are required. Many have been asking, how is it possible that given the original stipulation in Universi Dominici Gregis that more than 120 cardinal electors can enter the conclave? But according to Article 36, there are provisions within the Apostolic Constitution that allow for all of the cardinal electors to participate. Let's listen more for a better explanation in this report from Kelsey Gussie.
It was on October 1st, 1975, that Pope Paul VI first established the rule that the maximum number of cardinal electors shall not exceed 120 in the Apostolic Constitution Romano Pontifici Eligendo. Prior to this, in the consistory of 1969, the College of Cardinals reached 134 electors. Despite Pope John Paul II confirming the rule limiting the number to 120, recent popes have created more cardinals, exceeding this number. This was the case on four occasions for the Polish pope: in the consistory of June 28, 1988, February 21, 1998, February 21, 2001, and October 21, 2003. After Pope John Paul II's death, the conclave opened on April 18, 2005, with the College of Cardinals consisting of 183 cardinals, 117 electors, and 66 non-electors. This continued with Pope Benedict XVI, who exceeded the 120 number of cardinal electors on two occasions, when he resigned in 2013, and with the ensuing conclave, the College of Cardinals consisted of 207 cardinals, but only 117 were electors. Exceeding this number continued with Pope Francis, as he followed suit and made the college number greater than 120 in 10 consistories throughout his 12-year pontificate. Despite a history of exceeding the 120 limit, this 2025 conclave will be the first time one will take place with more than 120 cardinal electors. The College of Cardinals released a declaration on April 30th recognizing the right of all 133 electors to participate in the upcoming conclave, and they determined that the legislative provision of the UDG had been dispensed from by Pope Francis when the set limit had been surpassed. I'm Kelsey Gussie.
Also, the Holy See Press Office released on Saturday that on the 6th of May, 2025, the Pontifical Swiss Guard will commemorate the 147 guards who heroically fell during the sack of Rome in 1527 while defending the Holy Father, Pope Clement VII. The ceremony will take place in the honor courtyard of the guards' barracks in a strictly private setting. The commemoration will begin at 11 a.m. with the laying of a wreath in front of the monument to the fallen, located within the barracks. This will be followed by a speech from the commander of the Pontifical Swiss Guard, Colonel Christoph Graf. In this moment of reflection, the Pontifical Swiss Guard will pay tribute to the sacrifice of its predecessors who gave their lives for the protection of the Supreme Pontiff. The Pontifical Swiss Guard will make images available for media use. Also today, this Saturday, the Vice President of the Republic of Zimbabwe was received at the Secretariat of State by His Excellency Archbishop Paul Richard Gallagher, the Secretary for Relations with States and International Organizations. During the cordial discussions, the good relations between the Holy See and the Republic of Zimbabwe were noted, and some aspects of the political and socioeconomic situation in the country were also addressed, especially regarding collaboration with the local church in the areas of education and health. The conversation progressed with an exchange of opinions on topics of a regional and international nature, highlighting the importance of promoting dialogue and reconciliation between peoples. And that brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, please visit our web portal at www.vaticannews.va, and certainly follow our social platforms for the latest updates, including X, Instagram, Facebook. Certainly also watch our YouTube channel for all of the events happening in these days. Within the next 17 minutes, we'll begin the 8th Novenviale Mass. We thank our sound engineer in the studio in the Vatican. I'm Deborah Castellana-Lupov.